Oh, you got to move. You got to move. You got to move. You got to move. Well, when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Oh, praise it. So the Lord is moving in your family. Huh? He's moving into Jerusalem church. He's moving in Jerusalem. Huh? He's moving in Jerusalem. That's at home. Praise the Lord. Now don't think that we got it. Jerusalem, then what's the next place? Judea, Samaria, and then the... Don't think you got to do one, then the other. God can move them all at the same time. We work in Jerusalem and Samaria and the uttermost part. Huh? Praise the Lord. And sometimes when you do for missions, God will do in your own home. You give somebody else something. Help somebody else that has a need. And he'll work in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But our problem is we want God to do it for us. But God said it's not your time. It's your time to pray. It's your time to intercede. It's your time to lift them up. Take them to the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The Lord wants us to be vibrant. Huh? He wants us to be conquerors. Not sitting back and let the devil kick us. Kicking you all up and down the street. Knocking you, slapping you. Huh? Giving you backhand licks and knocking you all upside your head all week. Somebody said, the devil is a liar. Everything he brings to you, it's a lie. May look good, but it's still a lie. And everything that he takes, he's got to bring it back. Tell him, devil, it's time to pay up. With interest. With interest. I don't just want my daughter back. I want her back saved and a missionary. Hello, somebody. And I don't have a whole lifetime to wait for. I want it now. I want my neighborhood changed. Praise God. And even if I move, I want this neighborhood to be changed even after I'm gone. Because I don't want the other folks to live in hell and mess. Come on, somebody. So I want my community back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if they got to tear it down and rebuild it, whatever way you want to do it, Lord, you do it. Bless his name. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm almost finished. Sometimes the devil looks, it looks, our enemies look so like giants. Huh? He sent the spies. Joshua sent the spies into the land. I think that was about Numbers, the 13th chapter or something. And they look, he said, well, what are they like? Go and spy out the land. See what they look like giants. Oh, they're too big for us. We can't do it. We can't handle it. Huh? But it's a land flowing with milk and honey. that's all I want to know. We're going to kick the other ones out. We're going to take that milk. We're going to snatch that honey. Tell them, honey, we're going to get the honey. He said, the land that I give to you will be flowing with, it's God's promise to you. It's time for your land to flow with some milk and honey. Not the crumbs, not the scraps, not the little pieces. Tell her, I want my harvest. I don't want to glean now. Somebody, gleaning is after there's been a harvest. The harvest come and they reap the harvest, and then whatever's left they couldn't pick up, then you can go back and glean. Now there's a lot in gleaning, but I want to be the one. I want the one to have a field. I want the field. I want the fruit. I want the harvest. And then whoever want to glean, help yourself. God has something better for you. Somebody said, God has something better for me. And I'm ready for it now. He said, these men are like giants and we're like grasshoppers. Honey, I'm no grasshopper. I'm no grasshopper. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Who strengtheneth me. Stop seeing yourself as having no ability. We can't do it. You don't have to know. Let me tell you something. God will bring to you the people that you need to get the job done. But first of all, you got to get a job. You got to have a task. You got to believe the Lord has called you to do something. So, nobody, what are you doing? You got to get hold of something. This is what the Lord has placed on my heart. This is what I'm supposed to do. Now, it's up to God to bring the right people to you. Honey, if he have to raise them up, if he have to get a drug addict straight, praise the Lord. If he got to raise up the dead, he'll get it for you. Because God never gives you a task to do that doesn't have a way to get it done. That's not God. But he will do it. Just say amen. Praise the Lord. The declaration of the Lord tells us that we do have options and that we do have choices that we can make. We don't have to be stuck with what comes to us. There is an alternative way. Somebody said, there is an alternative way. I was listening to that man who shot six people this week up there in Dover. A lot of this is copycat stuff, you know. Monkey see, monkey do. Somebody, this is why you have to be careful what your children watch on television. You have to be careful what you read, whom you associate yourself with. You have to be very alert to that. And now this man who was on the SWAT team went and killed other folks because he had a grudge. Holding a grudge. Kill these other families. Destroyed six lives. Listen, there's nothing that you got going on, nothing you did or took from me, going to cause me to either kill myself or kill you. It's not worth it. The devil is a liar. Praise the Lord. And anybody love you that much, they say they're going to kill you, you better get out of job. If I can't have you, nobody going to have you. No, baby, you ain't going to have me and nobody else. I'm going someplace else. And if somebody tell you they're going to kill you about anything, you move on. It's not worth it. Because there's some people who have no hope. You're dealing with a world of people who are hopeless. A lot of these young people in the street have no hope. They feel like there's no other way. And then a lot of the music that they listen to, your so-and-so this, get your you-know-what and kill you this, I'm going to get you, you so-and-so. Ugly It's terrible. Get the gun and blow them out. Blow the waste of blood. You know all the rest. Get my witches. You know they don't use. There's another word they use. That's what they think of women. Huh? And so with this thing being fed into their mind, they feel like there's no hope. They feel this one. Listen, the white man not against you. The black man's not against you. The Jews, the Muslims, nobody against you. You're the worst. You're your worst enemy. Get yourself together and forget everybody else. Blaming somebody else for your situation. Then how are you going to do anything about it for yourself? I told you, if you're having a problem with someone else, don't try to change them. Change yourself. You change yourself. And you'll see what happens. Stop blaming somebody else. I don't blame. I was talking to a pastor not too long ago. And they were talking, oh, the church, they don't show up. And they don't this. And they do. I said, well, you know, folks only do to you what you permit them to do. If they don't show up, then they don't need to come later. And tell them, you stay home all the time. If it's not important enough for you to help and support, then you go someplace else where you will support. Hello? They won't pay. The preachers won't pay tithe. Then tell them, don't, you're not preaching here. If you don't pay tithe, then you don't need to preach. And you will not count the money either. Hello? People only do to you what you permit them to do. In a whole lot of folks, when they talk nonsense, and you let them, and they go, you know, grandma said, you play with a puppy and lick your face. So when you try to get serious, then they, oh, what's wrong with you? Well, you don't, all of that, what's it? See? No, but I'm not playing, period. And then when they understand that, then you set the line. So it's time to draw a line. Somebody says, it's time to draw a line. We've got to come to a point in our life where we understand what the Lord is saying. God is telling you, and the scripture came to me in Jeremiah 29:7. He says, bless the place where you are. Seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be, and be carried away as captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Jeremiah 29:7. I read that thing and it kept bothering me. A lot of times we want to run off and give up where we are. We want to throw down the gauntlet. Or we feel like, Lord, there's something better if I go over here, go over there. There's nothing better. You need to work the field God gave you. You need to bloom where you planted. Somebody say, bloom where you planted. Wherever God has placed you, it may not be permanently. And even though it's something that you don't like, God has a reason for that. The children of Israel were held captive. They were snatched out of Jerusalem. The temple had been destroyed the second time. And the temple had been destroyed. And they were taken away as captives. 70-some thousand of them. Taken away as captives. And they were singing in one of the psalms, by the waters of Babylon, where we sat down and wept. Where we remembered, we hung up our harps. And where we remember Zion, because it was hard to sing in a strange land. But let me tell you something. You better learn how to sing wherever you are. You better whistle while you work. You better get a tune and hum that tune. Because that's what's going to bring you through. Your praises and your joy through your tribulation is going to bring you through. They were carried into captivity. But if they had read further in 29:11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. I know my thoughts toward you. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. He has something wrapped up just for you. But you get so distracted by what's going on at this present time. Oh, I've been there. I've done that. But you've got to learn how to work where you are. Take whatever life gives you and work it and make something out of it. Make your stumbling blocks stepping stones. Those same people that are trying to do you in, honey, they'll help you get out if you learn how to work them. You got to learn how to work them. Hello, come on. It says, when you start fighting, it says, agree with your adversary quickly. Sometimes you spend so much time fighting and fussing and cussing and and then you wonder, because see, when you fuss and fight, then they fuss and fight. But sometimes you got to just say, well, bless you, honey. Bless you, brother. That's what you say. Well, you're all right. The moon is made out of green cheese. It is Swiss cheese. American, yellow, what kind of cheese you want it to be made? Cheddar? Huh? It doesn't matter. The year has 482 days. That's what you said. It's fine. 5 and 4 make 2. That's what it makes 2. To you. In your house, you're so busy arguing with it. I said it was that way. No, it wasn't like that. You don't remember. Lula, I told you it was over there. No, it wasn't over there. I remember exactly. I remember when you didn't put it over there. Because I was saving it up to tell you. I knew it was going to come like that. Arguing about nonsense. Huh? Agree with thine adversary quickly. That is, folks that come to argue, just, all right, have it your way. Now, that takes some humbling of yourself. Because you know you're right. You know you're right. You know what the Bible says. You know what you know. You know what you learned. You know you've been there. But don't. You ever try to give somebody direction? Oh, I know where I'm going. You go this way. No, not make a left turn. No, I ain't going that way. I know where I'm going. See, you get a heart attack. And then they get nervous, making wrong turns, going down a one-way street the wrong way. So keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. And let them go the wrong way. And then when they get there, then you just sit there. Don't say I told you so, because that started another argument. Well, why didn't you say something? Some people only learn the hard way. They only learn the hard way. So let them learn their lesson, and the sooner they'll get some new knowledge. He was told, the children of Israel had been told, that listen, they're only going to be in captivity for a short period of time. Old lion prophet David. This is a yoke. Nebuchadnezzar's yoke of they're only going to be there for a while. Babylonian captivity, and they prophesied. You can't be. You got to watch what people prophesy. Sometimes it's not that time. But it's going to be a short time. But God has said no, it ain't. Jeremiah listened to the prophecy, and never said a word. Never opened his mouth. But when he finished, he came back. The Lord dealt with him and said, look, no, you go back and tell them this. Not only the yoke of wood is not broken, I've placed a yoke of iron on them. It's not even, it's worse than what they thought it was. And it shall not be broken. Hello. I think for about 14 years. But when it is, I will turn their captivity, because they have to forget. I allowed this to happen to them. Huh? You've got to learn how to bless the place where you are, because your peace is there. Your welfare, your good is right there. And it depends upon even your enemy's success. Sometimes God will tie you to people, and he said, listen, if you don't help them, I ain't going to help you. Lord, them. you know what I prayed to you about them? And you want me to help? Yes, I want you, because there's something I want to teach you. I want to teach you right where you are. I've got a lesson for you to learn. If they win, you win. If they lose, you lose. So the best thing for you to do is start praying and helping them. Because when they come out, I'm going to bring you all the way out. Why would God allow them to become captives in the first place? Number one, because of gross disobedience. Somebody say, because of disobedience. When you're disobedient, a lot of things happen to you. A lot of things happen to you. Fall over the edge, get burnt, lose your property, lose your house. You better stay away from them folks. They're going to get you in trouble. I'm grown. Or, you know, I'm in love. He ain't no good, and mama wasn't no good, and daddy wasn't no good. They ain't none of them been no good. They ain't no good folks. You better leave them alone. Somehow you think you're going to change. They ain't going to change. They're going to drag you down in the pit right with them. I know you're quiet this morning. Of cause of disobedience. Secondly, they disregarded the warning of the prophet, the true prophet. They let the false prophet tell them, no, you're not. But the true prophet said, oh, no, it's not going to be. God's going to bring you out, but it's not now. Praise the Lord. You've got to hear the word of the Lord when it comes to you. When the word God speaks to you, follow, obey, hear. Hear and obey. And when you hear it right, God will do something for you. You know, when Samuel had a calling from the Lord, you know, the voice of the Lord came to him. Samuel. Huh? He said, yes. Then the voice came again. Samuel. Hello? See, God called a lot of folks, but he don't tell them nothing. God called a lot of people, don't mean he tell them something. Oh, God called me, yes, and that's all he said. Many are called, but he calls everybody. He didn't call you. He didn't call everybody necessarily to be a pastor. Just because you heard a call. Hallelujah. I'm not denying your call. But what did he tell you? You need to see that he had to go a third time. He went to Eli and said, look, Eli, the Lord been calling me. I heard his voice. I heard his voice. You know this. I know the Lord. Bishop, I know the Lord taught me. He said, but this time, Samuel, when he called, you said, speak, my Lord. So this time, the third time, he said, Samuel, he said, speak, my Lord. Huh? Then he spoke, and he told him just what it was to do. God knows what he wants you to do, but you got to listen to him. You got to seek his face. A lot of folks, God called them, but they haven't stayed at the altar long enough to find out what the Lord is telling them to do. And they want to be a jump up. And that's when they fall on your face. Thirdly, the priesthood became corrupt. Preachers were corrupt. Taking a little money on the side. Little money, just thinking about themselves. Not concerned about the sheep. Not concerned about the people of God. How are they doing? Eli's sons even got so much wealth and that they would not even care. They took the portion that was supposed to go to feed the people. They took it for themselves. You don't have to steal from anybody to be blessed. Income tax time coming. Tell the truth. Hello? Tell the truth. God's people got to tell the truth. The Lord will bless you. You don't have to put somebody's name down. Got somebody living way over there and say you're dependent. I know I'm talking this morning. Collecting from 3 and 4 agencies. You're corrupt. But yet, you're a Shamalai. God wants integrity. He wants us to be honest. And he will bless you. Fourthly, the shepherds were not faithful. The preachers just were not faithful. Did what they want to do. Couldn't depend upon them. They were not faithful to the work of God. When God calls you to do something, you must be faithful. The Lord is calling you to be faithful. A lot of you would be blessed if you just learned how to be faithful. Just be there. And see, sometimes you get mad when other folks are faithful. Hello? Honey, don't take all of that. You out there every time the church door opened. Yes. I was at the tavern every time it was open, right? Hello? When you were running the street, you didn't miss a Friday night. You got your clothes ready. Hurried up home, got dressed. Oh, we're going to have a party. On your way. And stayed out all night. And got up on Saturday. And got ready for the next round. Somebody said they got so drunk the wig fell off the head. She said, ha, ha, ha. And she said, ha, ha. And the wig went on down. I've seen people so drunk you had to gather them up. They didn't even know which country they were in. Now, when you come to the Lord, you have to have that same enthusiasm. Didn't miss. They preach what people like to hear. Fifth, people went after other gods. God said, I will have no other gods before me. I'll have no other gods before me. You must learn to put God first. Somebody said, put God first. I preached down in Jacksonville, clear your agenda. Clear your agenda. If everything else, you can't find time to do the work of God and to serve God, then you're serving the wrong thing. Whatever that has become your God. Because it's come before God. If God has given you a task or a ministry to do, and you can't seem to find time to do it, then you need to stop doing something else. Hello? I don't care if it's picking up children. You need to find time to do what God has called you to do. That's why he called you by your name. Then they took God for granted. Somebody said they took God for granted. That's when in Timothy said that in the last days men shall become lovers of themselves, thankless. Children will be thankless. People will be ungrateful, not giving thanks to God. Listen, when you stop being given, listen, every breath you take, God gave it to you. Everything you have, God gave it to you. That's what the deacon was trying to tell us about tithing. We wouldn't be able to have anything if it wasn't for God. You own nothing. And you leave it beside you when you leave here. So God used Nebuchadnezzar to dispatch his punishment and his rod of correction. Scripture says, he whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you don't correct your child, that means you don't love your child. I didn't say beat them to death. Now, you don't always have to whip them because, see, they get tough after a while. When they get 12 and 13, I don't whip no more, honey. You throw your back out of joint, your arm out of joint. You huffing them. Don't you move. Stay right there. Don't make me kill you. I ain't going to chase you. They running around. You chase them. That tells you you need to try another way. You need to have another rod of correction. Oh, you want sneakers? Oh, no, no. I don't care if your toes are coming through. You shall wear those. My bicycle. Bicycle? Oh, no, no, no. No bicycles here unless you go and make one. I suggest you go to the junkyard and put some parts together. See, when you all start doing those kind of things, and setting limits to your children, and putting, that's the rod of correction. You don't have to beat them. Worst thing I ever did was whip Robert and Sean both at the same time. My back, when I said, help daddy to the bed. From that day on, they had to put on my pants, underclothes. That's right. I stopped. I said, there's a better way. Behold, I show you a more excellent way. A lot of times when we think that it's God, that it's the devil doing something to it, it's God working something out in our life. Everything that's negative that happens to you is not necessarily for your evil. It is working good things in you. I told some people, sometimes when your children go to jail, that's the best thing for them. Because if they let them keep, did I tell you that? I said, if the Lord, oh, she admits with it. You weren't the only one. So she said, he's got to go. I said, that's the best thing for him. Because if he doesn't, he's going to keep on going and you're going to have a funeral. Bishop, my son been killed. So what we do, let some other, you've done all you can, so let some other people help you. God has sent you some help. Trenton State and Northern State, Rahway and the woman's down there, Clinton Reformatory, Essex County. God uses them to correct. So why are you complaining? Just cross your soul. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I know you're going to work it out now. Send them a Bible, honey. And don't give them too much. Make it like a holiday there. Wait till they get out. Then you give them something. They don't need a lot in there. They're fed well. That's why they come out all fat and pumped up. That's right. Plenty of food. Hello, somebody. Even air conditioning. We got air conditioning units. And you fanning. And you all run to see them all the time. I wouldn't run. Wait till you get home. Go there when you can. But don't kill yourself trying to run. I know you're all quiet today. We fail to not only see God as a God of love, but also as a God of justice and law. God has a plan that he's going to do things a certain way. Some of us are going through things that we said, oh, and people tell you, if God loved you, he wouldn't do this, he wouldn't allow that. That's not true. Then you don't know the true nature of God. And if you don't understand his true nature, then you will be confused. And you will only see one part of God. And if you only see one part of God, you're going to run into the other side one day. Or you're going to miss what God has for you. And if you only think that God is a God of wrath, then you need to find him as a God of love. But you cannot have peace with God until you are reconciled with him. Until you make peace with him. The Hebrew children had to submit themselves to God and to the King Nebuchadnezzar. Where God has you, sometimes you just got to let go. I said, Lord, I don't know why you have me here, but show me, because I don't want to stay here long. I don't know why you're doing this, Lord. I don't know why you have permitted this. Because sometimes what you're in, you beg to get into it. You begged and you went every which way that God wanted you. He had another way, but you wanted to go the way you went. And so you ended up in the wrong way. But they would not submit. But when they submit and finally submitted, then God says, I'm going to do something different for you. What do you do when you find yourself in such a position? What do you do when you find yourself in captivity? And then finally the word of the Lord comes to you and says, you're not going to have peace until you pray for the peace of your captors. I'm not going to do this until you get the thing straight, where you are, till you get things straight. What do you do when you find yourself in such a position? You must seek for the will of God in your life. Somebody say, I must seek for the will of God in my life. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. How does a Christian find the will of God? How do you find the will of God? It is through seeking him in prayer. Somebody say, in prayer. We've been on a consecration and fasting and looking towards Pentecost. But God wants to do something for you even prior to Pentecost. But you have to learn how to pray. And I want you, those of you, I want you as believers and new converts, we must learn and develop ourselves in the technique of prayer. You've got to pray. Somebody say, you've got to pray. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, you've got to pray. And some of you just go through the motions, but you really don't know how to pray. But prayer is communication with God. That's how you're going to know, what is it you want me to do, Lord? What is it you want me to do? So you've got to spend time. Somebody say, you've got to spend time. Got to spend some time with God for him to speak to you. Don't always go looking for someone else to tell you what the will of the Lord is. He does have prophets. He does have people. But there's things that you, when you read the word of the Lord, he will speak to you. It's sad when believers go and don't know what God wants them to do. You can find it out through the word of the Lord. Read the scriptures and God will begin to speak to you. And when you pray, you need to know the steps of prayer. I'm going to give you the 5 steps of prayer. We'll teach you further a little later. The first thing you need to do is to, when you go to God, when you say, well, how do I pray? And listen, some of you have not been out in prayer. But as we continue these weeks, this next month, before we go into Pentecost and the spillover services, we've got about a month. We're going to have some shut-ins, some Friday nights. Be here all night in prayer, seeking the face of the Lord. And we're going to be going in some evenings of praying before God so that we can know what God wants us to do. How does he want us to attack the enemy that's against us? How does he want us to bring down the principalities? How does he want us to be used to touch the community, our neighborhood? How does he want us to reach our family? He wants to speak to us. The first step in prayer. It's praise and worship. When you go to pray, you start praying. Sister Kim Hunt did a beautiful prayer this morning. Sister Hunt did a beautiful prayer this morning. She was right in order. She was right in order. She did it scripturally. She didn't just start praying. She went through. She just said, Lord, we praise you. We acknowledge you. That's the first thing you do. You have to acknowledge who God is, who you're talking to. So when you go to pray, when you fall on these, sometimes you can take the Psalms. When I go to pray, many times you see I have my Bible. I open up the Word and I start reading the Scriptures. I start praying in the Word. I'll get a Psalm. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. Glory ye in the Lord. Lord, we praise you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for all that he's done. Father, I thank you. I know who you are, Lord. You're wonderful. You're mighty. Praise God. Oh, you're glorious, Lord. You're king above kings. You're the high and lifted up one. Lord Jehovah, Lord Shammah. Oh, Lord, I start praising him. That's the first thing you do. And don't be stingy with your praise. When you go to pray, just get carried away with it. Praise the Lord. Get carried away with it. Just lose yourself. Huh? Come on, let's start worshiping and acknowledging God. Come on, everybody open up your mouth. Start praising him. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We know. Come on, no, come on. No, wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. I said, open your mouth and start praising God. If you don't know, just say, great Lord. Lord, you went wonderful. Great. I don't know, but put something in it. Because when you don't put anything in your prayers, you don't get anything out of it. Yeah. I don't care who hear me praying. I'm not talking about praying in the street. You're here in the house with believers. Or when you're home in your secret closet, that's the way you go. Shut yourself in and start praying. Come on now. This time, I want everybody to open their mouth and I want them to start praising God, acknowledging who he is. Come on. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Lord, we bless you. We bless you. We acknowledge you. We thank you, great one. Oh, holy God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You're Jesus. You're God. There's none beside you. We praise you. We bless you. I love you. I love you because you love me. When I didn't love myself, Lord, I thank you. Yes. That's it. That's it. That's it. Yes. Yes, Lord. All right. Now, you've entered into the presence of God. Praise brings you into the presence of God. That brings you, and if you don't praise and worship Him, you can't get into the inner sanctum. That means everything that's been locked, the door opens. They tell you, you got to wait to talk to the bishop. You don't have to wait to talk to God. Praise gets you in there. The cherubim and the seraphim said, this is God's child, and I got orders. When they praise, God inhabits the praises of the people. Then you just usher, come right on in to the throne. Next thing you do, before you do anything else, you need to repent and to confess. When David had taken the man's field, and when he had taken, had gotten the man killed and taken his wife Bathsheba and had committed sin, when the prophet came to him and told him what you had done, Nathan had came to him and told him what he'd done, he said, whoever it is, we got to get him. He said, it's you. I'm not praying about what Judy's done to me. I'm not praying what Deacon Porter did to me. I'm praying what I didn't do for God. So he said, create in me a clean heart. Have mercy. Oh, Lord, I sin. Forgive me, Lord. I've got whatever I've done. And if you're praying for other people, then you say, Lord, forgive this nation. We repent. I repent for the nation. Sometimes as an intercessor, you move in and repent for the other folk. God hears you as an intercessor. When you're praying for somebody else, you walk in as an intercessor. That's what Jesus is doing. That's what the man Jesus is doing for us now in heaven. He's the intercessor, interceding. He stands as an intercessor. But you got to repent. And you know, well, I didn't do anything wrong. You keep on praying, Lord, will show you what you didn't do and what you did. Hello? Sometimes we forget those things. You know you didn't call back and told them folks you were going to call them back. Oh, Lord, forgive me. You know that was a lie. You say, I forgot. No, you didn't. You wanted to forget. Hello? So these are the things that we do. And then the next thing you do, I say you make intercession. I think it's in 1 Timothy. So now making intercession for kings, rulers, and all those in authority. You stand at intercession. What does intercede? It means you get in the middle of. You get in the middle of the things. So if you want to do better, you start being an intercessor. Don't go to God with a whole list about the things you got. You move in there and say, Lord, I stand as an intercessor for this community. For my neighbors who are not saved. For the folks around me. I'm going to stand as somebody's an intercessor. That means you say that's somebody that gets in between. If God would bring his wrath on them, they would die. But you know, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time for me. Oh, I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. Intercessor. They were praying for you when you didn't know how to pray. A lot of you here, because prayer brought me, right? That's what intercession. So we intercede. What's going on in Israel and in Jerusalem with the Palestinians? Don't you know we're on the edge of a great war? You think it won't touch you? Praise the Lord. But when they throw anthrax and all those things, and when they throw an atomic bomb, hydrogen bomb over here, and you don't know where, they might have one in New York City. And it'll wipe everything out 50 miles near it. Burn the flesh off your bones. You know we need to pray because those folks are crazy. We need to bind them up. You worry about a car, God will give you a car. What good is a car when it's going to be, a bomb is going to blow up? You better get things in order. You praying for a companion. You better pray to be the companion of God. So be an intercessor. Somebody said intercessor. And then if you have a petition, somebody say petition. If you got to make a petition, that means you might have something for yourself that you're asking God to do. He says, if you pray, believing, you shall have whatsoever you say. If you pray and don't doubt, I believe. Don't worry about how God is going to do it. That's not your business. I just believe I'm just going to. What you're praying is not to doubt. Thank you, Jesus. To get in, I'm making a petition before you. A petition is a list of demands, a list of requests, can be called supplication. What is it you want God to do? You need to know what you want Him to do. You need to know what you want Him to do for you. And the final thing, after you've made that, then you give thanksgiving. Somebody say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. That seals the deal. Somebody say, that seals the deal. That's like a handshake. All right, we agree. This is done. That's done. It's done. Don't add nothing else to it. I thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe it's done. Praise God. I thank you for it. I thank you. I see it coming, and I give you thanks. That's why we always end the prayer. Now, Lord, we thank you for all of our prayers and our petition that went before you and everything that we believe that is going to come to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and God, praise God, is it so, and it cannot be otherwise. Thank God. Amen and amen. That's it. Somebody said, that's it. Now, when you start doing that for some of the things you're going through, when you hold on, you watch things start changing for you. Watch it start changing for you. Some of the things you worried about, God is going to fix it for you when you pray for other folk. This morning, if you have not drawn close to God, I want you to come and say, Bishop, I need something in my life. I need help. I need to draw closer to the Lord. The Lord has brought me here, but I want to give my life to Him totally and completely. I need Jesus Christ in my life, the one who suffered and bled and died for me. I need His help. I need to turn around from my ways. I need prayer. If that's you this morning, make your way quickly, quickly, quickly. It's my brother. I saw him on the street yesterday. And he was so hurt. My heart went out to him. I think he's your wife?
Yeah.
What happened to her?
Oh, well, she lets her daughter just takes over her mind and it interferes with our relationship.
All right.
And then she turns around and messes with that stuff and throws me out.
All right.
And I'm trying to keep things together, and it's the family that's tearing us apart. Her daughter's grown now. Mm-hmm. Let her smoke it over her house then. Let her get thrown out. Let her know how it feels.
That's right. Don't break up your home. All right. Well, we're going to pray for you. I told him to come with us today. And he's here before I got here this morning. I'm going to stand right on pray for you. Let's just wait right there. Anybody else wants to come this morning? Maybe you realize you're not where you're supposed to be in the Lord. And don't be ashamed to come up if you need strength. I believe God is moving some people up to have a real prayer life. I'm going to teach you how to pray. Bishop can teach you how to pray. I know how to pray. How to have a prayer life. Come on up, children. Yes, Lord. You need to start your children in the morning. Having prayer. Just all of them, let them come right now. Just come up here. Yes, Lord. Just come on right now. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to... God said, I'm not going to give you peace. I'm not going to let you, your welfare is tied up in the welfare of those that I put in your life. No sense in fussing and cussing at them. You need to pray for their deliverance, and then I'm going to deliver you. That's a rough. I thought that was rough. Why? Why you hook me up to them? For some of you, you need to grow. God wants you to grow another level. When you grow another level, it's going to help those around you. And then he's going to do something special for you. Somebody minister this child here. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. Some of you need a church home. I'm inviting you to become a part of this body. You may be backslidden. You may have been on the outside for a long time, but come on home, come home, come home. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus loves you. We will invite you to this family. Hallelujah. My Savior, I come to my brother's been so upset and his heart is broken, but I told him God was going to do something for him today. I told him God was going to do something for him today. You let Jesus come in your life. And then he's going to turn your family around. You come, you get the light, and God's going to use you to be a light to your wife. He'll bring your marriage together. He'll save her. He'll turn around. Save the children too. I may look hard, but God can do anything but fail. We're witnesses. But I want you to give your life to God. You surrender to Christ, and he'll do something for you. Are you ready to give your life to God? Oh, he said he's... Are you ready to give your life to God?
I'm ready to give my life to the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. I believe everybody ought to be standing this morning. Help him to pray through. Yes, Lord. Lift your hand, son. Yes, God. Oh, bless your heart. Say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Everything that I've done to you, God, forgive me this morning. I've made so many mistakes. I've done the wrong things. But have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me, Lord.
Have mercy on me.
Save me, Lord.
Save me, Lord.
And I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
Turn me around.
Turn me around.
And I'll live for you.
And I'll live for you.
Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your spirit.
This morning.
This morning, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, bless his name. Amen. Rodney Sanders. Praise God. I thank God for Rodney. Yes, Lord. Oh, praise him. That's right. Keep on praising him. When you get home, it's going to be different.
I know so.
All right. Come on, give your hand. Jesus, hand clap, pray. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless the Lord. Don't stop praying, Lord, and I. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised, and his word is true.
Don't stop praying.
Oh, don't stop praying.
Stop praying.
Yes, the Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. Yes, he'll hear your cry. Lord has promised he'll answer you. His word is true. Oh, yeah. He'll answer you. Oh, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised. His word is true. Don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Oh, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised. And his word is true. Don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Oh, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised. His word is true. Don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Oh, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised. His word is true. Oh, don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Oh, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised. And his word is true. Don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Oh, don't stop praying. Praying, he'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised, and his word is true. Don't stop praying, praying, praying. He has for you. Oh, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. He'll answer. Come on. Don't fuss. Keep on praying for him. Don't cuss. Don't argue. Just keep praying for him. Because the Lord is working it out. When you work it out where you are, then he'll move you to something better. Praise God. Don't look way over there. Just right where you are, God's going to do it for you. Huh? Come on here this morning. There's somebody you need to pray for right now. Let's give him and pray for him right now. Come on. Oh, stop praying. Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised. His word is true. don't stop praying.
Praying, praying, he'll answer.
Oh, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised, and his word is true. Don't stop praying. Pray. Now, there's some things that you're concerned about, whether it's financial, whether it has to do with the civil government, whatever it might be a personal request. But don't stop now. The worst thing you can do is just stop praying. But you need to keep praying. Not only praying about that request, start praying for somebody else. And while you're praying for somebody else, it'll take your mind off your problem. And God will work it out in the heavenlies and bring it into manifestation on the earth. Come on, somebody. So you just got to keep on praying. Praise the Lord. If you don't stop praying, God will work it out. Oh, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. Hear your cry. The Lord has promised, and the word is true. Oh, don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Oh, don't stop praying. Or deny. Don't stop praying. Hear your cry. The Lord has promised. Word is true. Don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Oh, praise. Hallelujah. When you finish your prayers, say, I got it.